Okay, so this is actually a very challenging acid-base disturbance question for both step one and step two level. The starting point is just recognizing this vignette as a pulmonary embolism and saying, okay, well, what kind of acid-base disturbance do we normally expect in pulmonary embolism? And the answer is acute respiratory alkalosis, where our CO2 is low and our pH is high and our bicarbonate is normal. That in and of itself is actually very difficult, okay? That's something I've developed other questions surrounding, okay? Where even though your lungs are fucked up in a pulmonary embolism, because your respiratory rate is high, your CO2 is still low, okay? So that concept in and of itself is important, knowing that in acute pulmonary embolism, or they're all fucking acute, but in a pulmonary embolism, your CO2 is low, and in turn, your pH is high and your bicarb's normal because there's no time for your bicarb to change. That is 9 times out of 10 for pulmonary embolism. Very, very, very high yield for step one and step two. So then in this question, you say, why the fuck is the bicarb low? Now, normally bicarbonate is 22 to 28. You can see that it's 18 here. We know right away that it is way too acute for bicarbonate to change. Bicarbonate would not begin to compensate for at least 12 to 24 hours. And even if it did start to compensate, it would probably just edge below on 21, 20. So when we have a bicarbonate of 18 in this acute setting, it should really scream out at you that there's an underlying metabolic acidosis. And then you say, like why in the world would there be a metabolic acidosis in the setting of pulmonary embolism? And the key point is that in scenarios where there's hypoxemia, the patient can get lactic acidosis, okay? So this is not limited to pulmonary embolism. We see this in any type of shock. This is all over the step two questions, where you'll get a patient with hypovolemic shock, cardiogenic shock, septic shock, even just dehydration without shock in some patients, I've seen it. I've also, in diabetes insipidus, I've seen it. But you can get a low bicarb and you're like, why the fuck is the bicarb low? And it's because there's lactic acidosis. If you're not delivering enough oxygen to your vital organs, your muscles, doesn't it make sense that there would be increased anaerobic respiration and lactate production? Okay, so in this setting, we have an acute respiratory alkalosis from our pulmonary embolism, and we also have a metabolic acidosis. Okay, so the answer here would just simply be acute respiratory alkalosis with metabolic acidosis. Very hard question, okay? Very, very hard. If you know this acid-base concept for the USMLE, this is pretty much as challenging as it gets. So as I said before, 9 times out of 10, when you get a pulmonary embolism, you're simply just going to have a respiratory alkalosis in isolation. So as I said, decreased CO2, increased pH, no change bicarb. But in patients who are hypoxemic, you can also get lactic acidosis, leading to a mixed pathology where you also have a metabolic acidosis. Okay, that's it.